7 o'clock, time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show with your host, Dana Rodriguez, and panelists, teachers, Lori Fisher, Pauline Teichman, and the San Francisco Chronicle's musical critic, Joshua Cosby.
Sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't dry, it's wet. If you ain't got.
And here's your host, Dan Rodriguez.
Thanks for putting on your headphones, at least. All right, welcome to Minds Over Matter, and we hope you will join us over the course of the next hour for our show. We'll endeavor to entertain you a little bit, maybe inform you as well. And we are an audience participation quiz program, so of course we're inviting your participation. It's very, very important. We have four people tonight. Sometimes we have complaints that four is too many, and sometimes we have complaints that two is too few, so just deal with it. We'll do our best for you. But it's a panel of four very personable, smart people.
We hope so.
So. Yeah. Yes, and we'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. And believe me, when I say everything else, I kind of mean that. So the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134. Or we have a toll-free number as well at 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. I'd like to thank everybody who called and donated to KLW in the name of Minds Over Matter last week. That was very nice. We had a reasonably high number of calls, so we appreciate that very much. And thank you to everybody. And thank you for supporting the station as well. That's the most important thing. And then that's area code 415-841-4134. There is more water in the world. They don't have to drink it out of that. And toll-free 866-798-8255. Okay, we're going to start with a round of introductions. And, oh, I'm sorry, I should remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER, all strung together, at yahoo.com. Feel free to email us anytime. We do read them, not on the air, or not while we're doing the show. But we do read them. So it's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear this show online, you can do that anywhere in the world, provided you're outside this room, at kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you like a podcast of this show, I'm sure it'll be worth a great deal of money someday. It will also be at kalw.org and should be available reasonably soon after our show tonight. Okay, as I said before, we'll start with a round of introductions. Here's the first. Joshua Cosman couldn't decide whether to be a fifth wheel or a fourth columnist tonight, so he decided to do both.
And Pauline Teichman kept looking for her name on every billboard, but saw nary a one.
Lori Fisher is hoping that the Giants finish their walloping of the Cubs early so that the crowds leaving Minds Over Matter at 8 p.m. don't have to fight the tiny throng leaving AT&T Park the same time.
That's, thank you for
that's
putting
what I worry
that way.
About. And to my left, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Enough said.
All right. And we'll begin with our special guest tonight, Joshua Cosman.
Oh, he is special.
I'm a special guy now. Well, we have a literary kind of panel tonight, so let's start with a literary question. I'm going to give you the name of six writers who all appear in the dictionary in the etymology of particular words that they've bequeathed to the language. You tell me in connection with what word do they appear in the dictionary?
All right. So they coined a word.
Yeah.
And just one.
And there's two. No, actually two of them are represented
double
twice.
Coins.
So a total of eight words for six writers. And the writers are Robert Heinlein, George Du Maurier, Daniel Defoe, Nathaniel Hawthorne, Harriet Beecher Stowe, and George Orwell.
Once again,
Robert Heinlein, George Du Maurier, Daniel Defoe, Nathaniel Hawthorne, Harriet Beecher Stowe, George Orwell. There are a total of 8 words that are in the dictionary with these writers' names in the etymology as having sort of created those words and given them to the English language. So take one.
Expression, like you could say Uncle Tom for Harriet Beecher Stowe?
Exactly. Okay, you could, and I think you just did.
So they're Pauline Bell. They're singular words.
Anything that's in the dictionary.
Like Scarlet Letter.
Scarlet Letter is in the dictionary with Nathaniel Hawthorne credited. What about you, Dana?
Du Maurier must be Svengali.
Svengali is one.
Oh, that's good.
Good.
And so who? So there's multiple words for each
there's,
one?
Du Maurier and Orwell have 2 apiece.
So Orwell must be Big Brother.
Big Brother,
and
yes.
Could he be 1984? Would they give him that?
No, 1984 is not
that's used as a word
no.
to mean.
Could Defoe be like My Man Friday?
Yeah.
Man Friday is correct.
So is the other Du Maurier word, is that Trilby?
It is Trilby.
Okay.
So one more for Orwell and one for Robert Heinlein.
How about Heinlein, Stranger in a Strange Land?
Well, that's not in the dictionary as an entry.
Okay. Well, it should be.
What would it mean? He didn't coin the expression. He got it from Exodus.
Ah.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, thank you.
That's all right.
All right. That's why it's not
Heinlein. It's been a long time since your bar mitzvah.
It was part of my bar mitzvah memory. Yeah, you're correct.
Swing and a miss.
Moses says that when he gets kicked out of Egypt. I was a stranger in a strange land.
That's good. All
right.
So we're missing an Orwell.
So we're missing an Orwell and a Heinlein. Big Brother is in the dictionary. What other word is in the dictionary?
What do we have for Orwell, so far?
Big Brother.
And what about Animal Farm?
Not a dictionary entry. Remember, these are words that have come into the language to the point where they are in the dictionary defined as.
So these are not expressions so much as.
Some of them are single words. Some of them, like Scarlet Letter or Uncle Tom. What they have in common are.
All animals are equal, but some of them are equal.
They're entries in a dictionary. If you look up the dictionary, it's just a collegiate, unabridged dictionary. Not unabridged. Sorry,
and not
collegiate.
Just based on the name.
Oh, Newspeak.
Newspeak is correct. Oh, right.
Nice.
Well done.
Nice.
Okay.
Good.
All right. Okay.
All right. So let's leave for some listeners to call in, tell us what word is in the dictionary that is credited in the etymology to Robert Heinlein.
Okay. Pauline, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. So I'm going to ask a dual-part question about Angel Island. So what is the name of the body of water separating Angel Island from the mainland, and what is the name of the elevation on Tiburon that's named after a former Marin County supervisor?
The second part I wasn't sure I got.
The second part is an elevation on Tiburon, so on the mainland, named after a former Marin County supervisor. Hmm. And I actually didn't know it was named after a person because it doesn't sound necessarily like it was named
after. So the body of the water that separates mm-hmm. Angel Island, is it something channel or is it?
It's not channel.
It's not channel or it's not bay. I don't think it's a bay.
It's not a bay.
I think so.
But you've narrowed it down.
Yeah. Is it narrows?
It's not a narrow.
Is it a strait?
Yes.
Oh, it is a strait.
Oh, straight. Okay.
Oh.
Well, see?
It's not the Straits of Magellan. That's the only one I know.
No.
Moluccan Straits.
Straits of Langerhans.
Islands of Langerhans.
Islands of Langerhans.
It was amazing to me living so near that I had never heard of these before.
All right. I think some local.
Yes.
It's a good local.
I'm sure.
Good local color question.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
It's from Hayward.
Hi.
We've got a couple questions.
Go.
Here's my first one. Who was the only U.S. president to hold a patent?
Well, that was Lincoln, wasn't
Lincoln,
it?
Yeah.
What?
Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, what was it for?
It was for a flatboat to go over a shoal or something like that.
Or a man or a boy in vessels.
Right, okay.
Here's my second question. Let's see. Julian Glover, Philadelphia Schmo, and Jeffrey Keane all appeared in the television miniseries QB7. What all three of them all have in common?
Once more, who were the three?
There was Julian Glover, Philadelphia Schmo, and Jeffrey Keane. But what all share in common? They appeared in one film series.
I'm not as familiar with those actors, so it's...
You might remember the last one.
Jeffrey...
Keane.
Gene. Wait a minute.
Keane.
Jeffrey Keane?
Jeffrey Keane, K-E-E-N.
Oh. Never heard of him.
Don't know.
You don't know?
Nope.
They all appeared in the James Bond films.
Oh.
Well, Julian Glover played Christopher in For Your Eyes Only. Blake Shevel played Bronstein for Rush of 11. Of course, Jeffrey Kane had the regular recurring role, the Minister of Defense, that the Roger
Miller. I love when people say, of course. Not of course.
Apparently, we're not very keen on this.
Goes without saying.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And, all right, Laurie, go ahead.
All right. I saw a list of songs that had lists in them, and there's one that I liked a lot. And it's from the Gershwin song, They All Laughed. Okay. And he names nine people who were laughed at. All were real people. I'll give you not a hint. One of the examples is they laughed at Christopher Columbus when he said the world was round. Mm-hmm. Who are the other eight real people that were named, and what were they laughed at
for? They laughed at Edison. Edison recorded sound.
He did.
They told Marconi wireless was a phony.
They did.
I'll
give you two more each.
Well, they laughed at me loving you.
Yeah, but you aren't a real person.
Okay, all right.
Alexander Graham Bell.
And they didn't laugh at you for loving me.
All right, okay.
Alexander Graham Bell?
They didn't laugh at him.
They should have.
Couldn't make
they
it
laughed
wrong.
At Rockefeller Center. I know that.
They did.
Now they're fighting to get in.
They are.
All right. So they laughed at Whitney and his cotton gin.
Oh, there we go.
Sorry.
That's all Dana's I got.
Out. All right. There's one, two, three. There's four more.
Okay.
Pauline, you got one?
Nope.
Okay. Josh, you going?
No.
So we got Columbus for The World is Round, Edison recorded sound, Marconi was a phony, Rockefeller Center, and Whitney are gone. We're looking for four more.
All right. I looked at a couple questions here. Let's see. After the Bible, what is the most quoted single work in the Oxford English Dictionary?
Ooh.
After the Bible, there are 1,600 references to it.
Wow.
How many are to the Bible?
More.
More than 1,601.
I didn't write that down, so I don't know. But way more.
So it couldn't be Shakespeare would be the obvious choice, but then we'd have to pick a single
play.
Yeah,
it has to be some particular piece of work.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about, no.
Okay.
1,600.
That's a lot. How about Dante's Inferno?
That's a good guess.
But they're not going to cite it in English because it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be... Is it Paradise Lost?
No, it's not Paradise
Lost. That's a good guess.
All right. So, after the Bible, what is the most single quoted work in the Oxford English Dictionary?
Huh.
And I'm talking about the multi-volume one.
Obviously. 1,600 times. Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I look for my name and I couldn't...
I mean, it's just got to be huge to have that many...
It has to
be... I mean, it's not Hamlet, right?
It is Hamlet.
Oh. All right. It doesn't have to be the only five acts.
All right.
Really, that many?
Yeah, that many.
1,600 references to Hamlet. Wow.
All right. I found a list of the Arts and Humanities Citation Index in which they mention what authors and writers are most quoted in works of literature or works of nonfiction or fiction. And so I boiled it down to who are the four most quoted Jewish writers? Who are the four most quoted Jewish writers in the Arts and Humanities Citation Index, which covers all published...
So Freud?
All published fiction and nonfiction literature. What's that?
Freud?
Freud is one, yes.
Einstein?
Nice.
Einstein is not.
Okay.
Well. Okay, those are your guesses.
Okay.
Freud's number two.
So this is all scholarly works.
It is. Okay. The list is inclusive over the last 30 years.
Spinoza.
Does it favor writers of nonfiction or fiction or both?
Well, I'm going to guess that writers of nonfiction don't. Oh, you mean as the people who get cited?
Yeah. I'm not going to say. Okay. Right now.
Yeah. Freud. Freud for sure.
Okay. So who are the four most quoted Jewish authors?
Oh, Marx.
Yes, that's number
very
one.
Very good.
That's good.
Number one. All right. Gets harder after that.
Yeah.
Marx and Freud.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Okay.
All right. So who are the most two left of the four most quoted Jewish authors in the Arts and Humanities Citation Index, which covers all published literature?
That's a good question.
Yes.
All right. We ought to be able to come up with at least one more.
Yeah.
And this was boiled down for me to the Jewish authors. I didn't pick them out one by one.
Yeah. So. I hope they helped you a lot.
Thankfully. Okay, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is Herb in Ashland, Oregon.
Hi, Herb.
for the Heinlein word, I think one of them is grok.
That is correct.
Really?
Well done. Give Herb a bell.
That's good.
Okay, yep. And then the most quoted Jewish writers, I think one of them might be Sholom Aleichem. Hmm.
No?
He should be.
Okay, well, anyway, what composer wrote two symphonies? The first one is subtitled A Symphony of San Francisco, and the second one is subtitled The Missions of California.
Ooh. Is it our old friend Meredith Wilson?
You got it.
Really? Oh, that came up on that.
Dana asked that question a few months ago, and
really?
So it was fresh in my mind. I don't believe me, that's not a piece of knowledge that I carry around with me.
The music
that's
man.
Correct. Anyway, I don't think he uses 76 trombones. Okay, what composer wrote the March Past of the Kitchen Utensils?
Oh.
And which composer wrote the Revue de Cuisine, which I think it means about the same thing? Mm-hmm.
The Kitchen Utensils sounds very familiar. I think I've heard that. That's a fairly well-known composer, isn't it?
Oh, very well-known composer.
Yes.
The other one is not quite so prominent.
March of the Kitchen.
Was that the name he named it, or is that when it became in something like Fantasia or something?
No, he gave it that name. It's part of a larger work.
Right. Can you give me if you don't feel like we would give it away, can you give me sort of a time when that was composed?
Around the 1900, 1904.
Right.
I'll give you a clue. It's English, based on a Greek work.
Oh, it's Vaughan Williams from the Aristophanes, the Wasp.
The Wasp.
The Wasp, yeah, the Aristophanic Suite.
Good job. Thank
right,
you.
Thank
okay,
you.
Now how about Revue de Cuisine? Hmm. Different nationality.
Yeah, French.
Not French.
Not French.
This guy's not quite so well known.
Don't know.
He's one of my underrated composers. I think it's a ballet.
But not English and not French.
I'll give you... Well, rather than spend a lot of time, I think Central Europe, like Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it Martinu?
It is Martinu.
Oh, very good.
Great.
But
okay.
I don't know what the piece... Oh, that was the question, yeah. All right.
Yeah. One more. Everybody knows Leroy Anderson's The Typewriter Song. What other composer uses a typewriter in the orchestration of one of his musical works?
Sounds like Cage, maybe.
Mm. Nope, not Cage.
How about Glass?
No, how about Ligeti?
Nope.
Huh.
He's not exactly obscure. He's a very modern guy, still alive.
Oh.
At age 83.
Oh.
Hmm. Typewriter.
Josh, haven't you seen this before?
No, I know.
Okay, Poland.
Oh,
Penderecki?
Penderecki is the one.
All right.
And the work is... Emanations, 1960. No, I got it wrong. The work is Fluorescences from 1961.
All right, good to know.
Okay,
thanks.
That's
it's harder
me.
And harder to play that.
Thank
one.
You very much.
Typewriter
right.
is disappearing.
It's not the same one.
That
thank
is
you,
it.
David.
Very. David's on top of it.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
wow. All right. Great.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I got scooped on grok. Let me guess on a quoted Jewish author, Joseph Heller?
No.
Too bad. Okay, let me ask you this, which I found out today. Who is Daniel Day-Lewis's father-in-law?
Arthur Miller.
Very good.
Yeah,
same
right.
article today.
Yeah, no,
okay.
I've known that for a while. It's
okay.
When he was in the Crucible, and there was a lot of publicity about him being in the movie The Crucible, playing John Proctor. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Was that it?
Okay.
Oh.
Yes. Good night.
All right. Thanks.
I think Miller's daughter just wrote a movie or a play too, and that's what's being coming out now.
Okay. Yeah. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. There are four people on the panel tonight, and I'll tell you their names right now. Joshua Cosman, of course, columnist on classical music. We're critic on classical music for the San Francisco Chronicle. Pauline Teichman, teacher and photographer.
How quickly they forget.
Sorry, I just missed me.
It's a big table today.
Lori Fisher, teacher at Diablo Valley College, and I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. Feel free to give us a call if you have a question or answer. That number is area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Josh, it is your turn.
Okay. What do these Fortune 500 companies have in common? General Motors, Hewlett-Packard, IBM, PepsiCo, Lockheed Martin, and Oracle. Tell you those again. General Motors, Hewlett-Packard, IBM, PepsiCo, Lockheed Martin, Oracle. Those six are they're among only 21 companies in the Fortune 500 of which this is true.
Do they have a women CEO?
They all had women CEO.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so. Wow. Yep.
Oracle was the good one job. That didn't fit. But the rest I knew. That's great. Yeah.
That's okay. Good.
How many? 21 out of Fortune 5?
Well, give us another question. Then.
Sure. All right. What is the largest city in the United States that has a one-syllable name?
Oh. It used to be Flint. Is it still?
That was what I had in mind. Yeah. Has it changed? I
mean, well, just the population since has
gone
down. Oh,
you think the water has...
Yeah, but I'll go with Flint since you nodded your head.
Yeah. All right.
Good job.
All right.
All right. And Pauline, it's your turn.
Okay. Name this short story written by a writer more commonly associated with children's stories that became an episode of Alfred Hitchcock Presents in 1958 and also later inspired an Almodovar movie.
Like Lamb... Oh.
Oh, it's Roald Dahl.
Like Lamb to the Slaughter.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's the one.
That's the one.
Where the murder...
Lamb to the Slaughter was made into a movie?
No.
Into an Alfred Hitchcock episode.
It was an Alfred Hitchcock episode, and then it inspired an Almodovar movie.
They cooked the leg of lamb.
Yeah, no, I remember the story. Don't spoil it.
Oh, sorry. Everybody go out. It's a great episode of Alfred Hitchcock.
I think it's on YouTube if you want to watch it. It's great. Barbara Bel Geddes is in it.
Exactly.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Billy from Bernal.
Hi, Billy.
I got aced on Grok and Newspeak.
Mm-hmm.
The Jewish writer?
Right.
Isaac Bashevis Singer?
Nope.
That's all I got.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay.
How about Saul Bellow on that list?
Not Saul Bellow. I'll make it a little easier for you. That the two remaining are nonfiction. Okay.
Okay, so all of them are nonfiction. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
And Lori, you go ahead.
All right. One of my students was writing a paper on board games, of all things, the future of board games. And I said, why don't you find out the past of board games? And so he gave me this list of the
best. So you could get material out of it.
Is everything's material.
All right.
So what are the five all-time best-selling board games? That's the question.
Monopoly.
That's number three.
Okay.
How about Clue?
No.
Oh. Josh is big into board games.
Well,
Not
so much of the history. I would have said, I mean, in various forms, just because it's been around so long, is Chutes and Ladders.
No.
No?
Surprisingly. That's what I had guessed, as well as a couple of...
What about Battleship? Would that be considered?
Battleship's not on... Okay. I looked at the top 20. It's not even in the top 20.
How about either Life or Risk?
They're both in the top 10, and neither's in the top 5.
Okay.
Sorry, it's not.
No.
Parcheesi, though.
No, not Parcheesi.
Oh, wow. All right,
so we're looking for the top all-time five-selling board games.
Is this worldwide or just the U.S.?
They mentioned was the U.S. and Great Britain, so I'm going to assume it's those.
But these are all games that would be very familiar to us.
Everybody at this table has played all these games.
But when you say board games, you're not talking about like chess and checkers. You're talking about other...
Chess, that's number one and two. Yeah. I was talking about those. Yeah. So we got the top three. We have chess, number one, checkers, number two, Monopoly, number three, and we're looking for four and five.
All right. Leave that out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is David Price Welding in San Francisco.
Hi, David. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, great panel tonight. For Lori's recent question, would Scrabble be on the list?
It is. It's number four. Very good, David.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
You're always ignoring the obvious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I have a geography question.
Mm-hmm.
The latitude of San Francisco is on almost the exact footing of another nation's capital. Can you tell me what capital that is?
It's a great question.
Where's our
world map when we need
And it? I'll remind you that our latitude is 37 degrees, 46 feet, and 30 inches.
Somehow it doesn't help as much as I hoped.
Almost 38th parallel.
No, I was going to say, is the answer Seoul?
Yes, sir, it is.
Very good.
That did help.
That was a great line
drawn in October of 1945 to halt the Russians from coming through Manchuria, and has caused great problems since then.
Yeah, it certainly has. Is that it, David?
One last question I did want to ask. I ran across a word this week, satrap. Would we consider Donald Trump a satrap?
No.
But another word that begins with those first three letters.
Are you letting a panel vote on this?
Yeah. Thank you, David.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye. Have a good night.
You too. And my turn, or is it?
Yeah. It's you.
It is me. Okay.
It had to be you.
Oh, let's see here. Okay. All right, this is a literary question. I'm going to give you five collections of poetry, published collections of poetry, and I want you to tell me who the author was, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So these are titles of poetry, published poetry collections. Number one, Sour Grapes. Number two, The Seven Seas. Number three, The Tower. Number four, A Green Bough. And number five, For the Time Being. So again, these are titles of poetry collections, famous poets and authors. Number one, Sour Grapes. Number two, The Seven Seas. Number three, The Tower. Number four, A Green Bough. Number five, For the Time Being. I'll give each one a guess. Anything?
I got Babkus.
Nothing?
You don't have a time framework on any of these.
All 20th century, a possibility of very late 19th century.
Is The Tower Gerard Manley Hopkins?
It is not.
Okay.
I will entertain guesses.
Could it be Ted Hughes?
No, not quite that modern.
Okay.
I know none of them.
No?
Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
I got
okay.
None.
Again, these are titles of poetry collections.
Let's leave it out there for the callers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me the poet or a famous author who is the author. Number one, Sour Grapes. Number two, The Seven Seas. Number three, The Tower. Number four, A Green Bough. Number five, For the Time Being. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Let me move away from my radio. Okay, I'm the guy with all the San Francisco street questions.
Huh?
Oh, good.
Good.
Because we should know. We're locals. We should know.
We should.
Okay. We've had 44 United States presidents, and 12 of them don't have their name on a street sign in San Francisco.
Now, when you say they don't have their name on a street sign, just to clarify...
I'm going to clarify, yes. Over where there used to be a ballpark near Clinton Park, near Valencia.
Yeah, so you're not talking about just happens to be the same name as a president. It
right.
has to be
Clinton
named
Park,
after the president.
Clinton Park isn't named after Hillary
okay.
or Bill.
All right.
Just
to be clear.
But it counts in my count.
Okay.
Oh, it does count.
It
oh,
yeah,
does
hardly
right.
any
it
of them are actually
name
named after the president.
Oh,
okay,
well,
so
no.
12 right. presidents
like Bush,
named.
Bush counts, even though sure. it's not named after Bush. Right.
Exactly. Bush
so they don't, so Obama's not on there.
Right, exactly.
I'm thinking
right.
Obama.
You're beating us to Obama, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very low-hanging fruit.
I didn't even write that on my list. But
it's
yes,
not an Eisenhower.
I think there's an Eisenhower Drive,
really?
Isn't there? Yeah. Isn't there an Eisenhower Drive?
It's in there, yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's in the park.
Oh.
Golden Gate Park has Kennedy and Lincoln as well.
I knew Kennedy
right.
and Lincoln,
yeah.
but I didn't know
Eisenhower.
Well, there isn't a Nixon.
No.
Very good.
Very nice.
Okay.
Are you counting on your fingers?
No, I'm writing them down.
Two.
We got two out of the 12.
What is
Fillmore, Grant, we got
It's
those.
A trick question.
Oh, why?
Why is that?
I can't tell you that. 12 presidents.
Of the United States, right?
Right.
Okay.
You're not talking about the temporary leaders of the Continental Congress or something like
no,
that?
No.
Right. I don't think there's... Is there
with the quarters and everything. Or
yeah.
The
there's not a Johnson Street, I don't think, is there?
That's two.
Oh,
good. All right.
Is there a Coolidge Street?
No, we got one in Oakland.
Oh, no, but it, you, said you said San Francisco.
That's right, but you don't have one. Get with the program.
So, is Coolidge
that,
counts.
Is that one of the 12?
Coolidge counts, yeah.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
All right, we're
going to go. I'm pretty sure there's Wilson.
Yeah,
there's
the
Hayes, there's
the
Grant,
yeah,
there's
you
Fillmore.
The guard, yeah.
Yeah.
The producer has my list.
Is there a Cleveland?
I don't think there's a Truman. Is there a Truman Street?
There's no Truman.
And how about Cleveland?
Cleveland is not on my list. So there must be a Cleveland out there somewhere.
Okay. All right. So I was right. Was I right about Truman? There is no Truman.
Right.
You get credit
no Truman.
For Truman.
Okay.
So we've got half, right?
You got half of them. All right. Well, let's...
All right.
Producer has the list.
Okay, great.
Okay,
thanks.
Good night.
Thanks so much. All right. And we're a little bit halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet, Josh.
I got nothing.
Don't you have... You don't have nothing of the
no,
authors?
No, you guys are too smart for me. I've been cleaned out.
Okay. And Polly.
Okay. The book, The Indian Clerk...
Oh.
No, we're...
any questions that haven't been answered.
Oh,
that's all.
I'm sorry. I don't remember. I don't remember.
Your Tiburon question.
Yes. So my two Tiburon questions.
Right.
So the name of the body of water that separates Angel Island from the mainland and the name of the elevation on the mainland that's named after Marin County Supervisor.
Okay. And Lori.
And I have, of the five best-selling games, we have Chess, Checkers, Monopoly, Scrabble. We're looking for number five. And of the people who were laughed at in the Gershwin song, I'm looking for the four we don't have. We have Columbus, Edison, Marconi, Rockefeller, and Whitney. There's four more named, and I want to know why they were laughed at as well.
Okay. And let's see. I have a list of, according to the Arts and Humanities Citation Index, which covers all published material in English in the United States over the last 30 years or so. Who are the four most quoted Jewish writers? So far, we have Karl Marx and Sigmund Freud. The other two are nonfiction writers, mm-hmm. just so you know. And so who are the other two?
How about
two?
Martin Buber?
He's on the list further down, but no.
Not
in the top four, anyway. So who are the two that are missing on that list? And
how about Thomas Kuhn?
No, again, I believe he's in the top 20 or so. Mm. But not in the top four. And I also have the titles of poetry collections. I want you to tell me the well-known poet who authored these. Number one, Sour Grapes. Number two, The Seven Seas. Number three, The Tower. Number four, A Green Bough. Number five, For the Time Being. Very well-known poets, all of them. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good evening. Jeez, how are you?
Good.
So we'd just like to express our real sorrow for the victims of that Egyptian airplane. And I'd like to stress that it wasn't Egyptian who put it down, God knows who, but the bunch really bloody people. We should all fight them. So the question I have is, what is chemistry? What is dihydrogen, what is dihydrogen oxide?
Water.
Hydrogen oxide.
That's water, Ed.
Okay, very good. Well, you know, it's good.
There you go.
Let everybody know. Okay, talking about Egypt, the Egyptian government just banned that American product for being unsafe for human consumption. What do you think it is? As many of you know, that many countries
hot dogs.
Banned chicken. They banned chicken because of very high concentration of arsenic. So what do you think the Egyptian government banned, the health department in Egypt? You can see that online. What do you think they banned?
Is it a fast food item?
No.
Okay.
Something used every day. I mean, the item used every day doesn't have to be the specific brand.
Oh, is there just a generic name you want?
No, actually, generic name, yeah.
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 And it's a common item, a common food item.
Very common item.
We are
a lot of people. I have called your show about it before, and expressed that many times. You know what is the band? What do you think? Another
GMOs.
No, we don't know. Yeah, we don't know where to start on that.
Okay, you know what it is?
What?
Bottled water, Nestle, Arrowhead.
Oh,
Arrowhead. Go. All of them are. They had very high concentration of arsenic
because of the plastic bottles, right?
No, well, that's part of it also, the leaches in it. Yeah, but the biggest contaminant in it, and they actually have the data. You can go online and find it. Very high concentration of arsenic.
Right.
So stick with bottled water, guys.
All right.
Bottled water. Thank
and
you.
Old lace.
And
bye.
Pauline's been drinking that arsenic in this studio, too. All right.
Yep.
And, Pauline, I think it's your turn.
Okay.
Is it your turn?
Yes, I think it is.
Did we skip you? Oh,
sorry.
Well, I'm sorry. You go first, and I'll go back. I'll double back to John.
Okay. The book The Indian Clerk, the novel The Indian Clerk, is based on two people. Name the two people who are at the heart of that book.
The Indian Clerk.
The Indian Clerk?
Yes. It's a biographical novel.
Is it Hardy and Ramanujan?
Yes. Yes, it
is. Yeah, that's
nice.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Nice.
How'd you figure it out?
Thinking that, too. Because there's a movie that just came out.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. All right. And he was a clerk in a shipping office and Yes. So, yeah. Good job.
And there were actually a couple of documents.
All right.
Now we'll double back to you.
All right. Well, this is a question that I asked on this show in 2011. I found it in my notes. And it turns out that four of the five answers have changed. So it's a whole new question.
Luckily for you.
Yeah. Otherwise, we'd remember for sure.
Right. Well, so the question is, for each of the five main Oscar categories, best supporting actor and actress and best director, who is the earliest winner in that category who is still alive today?
Well, that changes all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's so not the oldest one now, but the one who's living who won it first.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What categories are we talking about?
So best actor, best actress,
right.
Best supporting actor and actress, and best director. So four of those five have changed since I asked the question in 2011. Who is now the earliest Oscar winner in each of those categories who is still alive? Extra credit if you can tell me who it was in 2011, and who they replaced.
So in 5 years, four of them have changed.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there anybody earlier than Olivia de Havilland?
No, Olivia de Havilland.
1946 for To Each His Own.
That's correct. Give
yourself
a bell.
She's going to be 100 this year. By
July 1st. Yeah.
She is still
amazing.
Yeah.
100.
Do you remember who it was the last time I asked this?
Ooh.
Oh, and this is
Louise Renner.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Who was over 100, too.
Exactly. All right. So you got the idea. So yeah. Olivia de Havilland.
So it's not that people have won the award. It's that people have died.
Okay.
All right.
Huh.
And that was 1946.
That was 1946.
Right.
When Olivia de Havilland.
And you're not going to find a man that goes back that far, I'll tell you that.
No.
Definitely
not. And you can't give us the years.
And
okay.
Ernest Borgnine's died, and that's
Ernest Borgnine is who was was the correct answer to that question in 2011.
And Maximilian Schell died.
Yep,
who would have been around.
So those are in the 50s, right?
Yeah. Schell's 60 or 61, and okay. Let's see. Yeah, best supporting actor and actress. That's a little tougher.
And director too.
And director, yeah. Can you tell us how far back the director goes?
What about Douglas?
Kirk Douglas. No, he never won.
Never won a best actor.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
He is still alive, though.
Yeah, he
helps.
How far back does a director go? Can we ask?
Well, let's see if somebody gets it, then I'll throw some hints.
Fair enough.
If we have.
You know. Okay. Why don't you just go
ahead?
So
the question is, who is the, for each of these actor categories, best actor, best actress, best supporting actor and actress, best director, who is the earliest winner of that Oscar who is still alive today? Dana got Olivia de Havilland, who is the earliest living Best Actress winner. What about the other four categories? And I mentioned this is all but one of them has changed since I asked the question 5 years ago.
All right. And let's go to a call.
It's fun.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, goodness. Raccoon Straits and Tiburon.
Hi.
Hello?
Pauline. Hi, you're on. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
That was correct.
Raccoon Straight?
Yes.
Is that what they said?
That's the name of it?
Absolutely.
Good job.
That is the name of it. Good job.
Yeah.
And the other one?
And then on the top of the mountain, the only places I can think of are Ring Mountain.
That's it. Okay. Ring Mountain, named after George E. Ring, who was supervisor, Marin supervisor. That's why I said it sounds like it's not after a name, but it is.
Yeah.
Great job.
That was a good hint. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi. It's Tamara calling from El Cerrito.
Hi, Tamara.
Hi. The last book of poetry, Vault for the Living, something like that.
The last one on the list. Are you talking about the list I gave you with the poetry collections?
Yes, yes.
For the last one on the list was For the Time Being.
Yes, that's Annie Dillard.
It is not.
Oh. It is not. Ah, I died. Okay, thank you. Okay,
thank you very
bye
much.
Bye.
All right. And let's see. Oh, just if you'd like to give us a call, the number is area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, 415-841-4134, or toll free 866-798-8255. This is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. And Lori, it is your turn.
All right. I am going to give you 6 slogans for cigarettes. Mm. All from the past, I believe. 2 easy, 4 kind of hard, and kind of fun. You've Come a Long Way, Baby is number 1. Come to Where the Flavor is number 2. The Rest Get Harder. Blow Some My Way is my favorite. for digestion's sake, smoke, and then it has the name of the cigarette. Just What the Doctor Ordered, which is also a classic. And Enjoy a Cooler Kind of Mild. So You've Come a Long Way, Baby. Come to Where the Flavor is. Blow Some My Way. For Digestion's Sake, Smoke Blank. Just What the Doctor Ordered, and Enjoy a Cooler Kind of Mild.
My favorite was always, There's Not a Cough in the Carload.
Yeah. That's a real one.
I like that one, definitely.
So get 1 each, maybe.
Can I have the first one once more?
You've Come a Long Way, Baby.
Is that Virginia Slims?
It is.
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
I know the rest of the song, too.
Yeah.
And Come to Where the Flavor is, that's Marlboro Country.
Come to Marlboro Country.
Good job.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, 4 more.
Is the cooler one, is that cool? Like the
it is.
Yes.
Enjoy a Cooler Kind of Mild is cool cigarettes. Good.
The first one I ever smoked.
I know I've heard Blow Some My Way.
Blow Some My Way, yeah. For Digestion's Sake, Smoke Blank, and Just What the Doctor Ordered. We'll leave those out there for the people.
Is it Lucky's?
No.
Yeah.
It used to be reach for a Lucky instead of a chocolate.
Yeah,
like for your dietary.
There's a whole bunch that had doctors and medical advice, like the cough for a carload, that kind of kind of shocking.
10 out of 11 doctors recommend
yes
Lucky's. Yeah, they're all dead now. Okay, let's see. I'll do a quick question here, and then we'll take some more calls. All right, what role do these 3 or 4 actors have in common? Okay. What role do these 4 actors have in common? Kirk Douglas, Michael Caine, Spencer Tracy, and Boris Karloff. What role do these 4 actors have in common? Kirk Douglas, Michael Caine, Spencer Tracy, and Boris Karloff.
And it's a fictional character.
Fictional character.
It's not like the Prime Minister of England.
No, it's a famous fictional character.
That's quite a list.
That's great.
Yeah.
So what role in the movies, they all did movie versions of this, do these actors have in common?
Would it be a Shakespearean part?
It is not Shakespearean.
See, Boris Karloff never played Alfie. That's what's confusing me.
Kirk Douglas, Michael Caine, Spencer Tracy, and Boris Karloff. They all have the same role in common. Different versions, obviously.
It's fun to think about Spencer Tracy playing Vincent van Gogh, you know.
No. Mm-hmm. Fictional person.
Yeah.
Well-known fictional person.
Well-known fictional person.
Right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Michael from El Cerrito.
Hi, Michael.
Let's see, the 5 most popular board games.
Yes.
Would the 5th one be the Game of Life?
It's not. It's in the top 10, but didn't make the top 5.
Oh, okay. Well then, let's, the people who are laughing, you have Christopher Columbus.
Yes.
When the world was round, Edison recorded sound.
He did.
Did you have Fulton and his steamboat?
Ah, we needed that. Thank
yes,
you.
That's
one
right
of them.
Hershey and his chocolate bar.
Next
yes,
line,
very
right
good. That's 2 more.
They told Marconi wireless is a phony.
That's one. We had that one. There's two more left.
Rockefeller Center. Whitney and his cotton gin. Do you have that?
We got him.
How many are left?
Two left.
Two. Rockefeller Center. Now we're waiting to get Whitney and his cotton gin. Well, Ford and his Lizzie.
Yeah, kept the laughers busy. Yeah,
that's
very
how
nice.
People are.
Yes, that is how they are. Okay, one more.
Right.
You're knocking them out here.
Okay, let's see.
You know?
I'm trying to think. Yeah. Well, think it over.
Think it over. Call back.
Yeah.
All right, we got one left. We got a lot of people who are laughed at. And
there's a bell for you. There you go.
Okay, good on the bells.
Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi,
this is John.
Hi, John.
From Bernal Heights. Hi. And we knew the Raccoon Straits. Actually, that was Rick here at Bernal Heights. But I have a few other answers. I don't believe there's a Reagan Street or Avenue or Boulevard or anything in San Francisco.
Good job. Yes, you're right.
Even though he was even governor, right?
It wasn't fertile ground for him here, I have a feeling.
I beg pardon?
I don't think it was very fertile ground here.
No. One would be surprised. The poetry book, the time being is Auden.
It is.
Oh good.
W.H. Auden. Very good.
I think that was even made into an oratorio. Am I correct
I do not know.
Not that I'm familiar with.
Yeah, I think at least, or excerpts from it, I think were made into an oratorio, and I can't remember the composer.
That's interesting.
Jewish writers, I'm thinking Elie Wiesel.
No.
Or Philip Roth.
Neither one.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll quit while I'm ahead. Goodbye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. And Josh, I believe it's your turn.
No, I think it's...
No, I just did one.
You just did one.
I just did
All right. Well, I want to save this for Jerry. I'll throw it out here. Jerry...
How about if we don't answer it?
Just... So, depending on how you classify them, either one or two classical musicians ever subbed in for Johnny Carson as guest hosts of The Tonight Show.
As guest host?
Yes. Classical artists.
How about Victor Borge?
Good guess, but no.
Yeah, that's a very
very good guess.
How about Isaac Stern?
No. Not Isaac Stern.
I'm just thinking kind of personable, personable types.
Ishtok Perlman's very personable. Is he one?
No.
Oh,
all right. Classical musicians.
Okay.
None of them were conductors, I have a feeling.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay.
And not composers. These are also Leonard
Right. These
Bernstein
are performing artists.
Okay.
One for sure, a classical musician, one,
It's how about Liberace?
Exactly.
Is he the shaky
exactly.
one?
That's the shaky one. I had a classical music quiz that I put together, and I almost put this question in, and I thought, I don't want to field arguments about whether Liberace counts
that's okay.
or not.
That's
I didn't
right.
know if you so guessed. I didn't know you guest hosted. Good for
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so
did.
Now we're looking
he
for
did.
A...
So now you're looking for a real...
More conventional.
Yeah, yeah.
Would it give it away to tell us what instrument this
yes.
person played? Okay. I know somebody he liked to head on the show was James Galway.
Good guess, but not correct.
Okay. All right.
I'm trying to think of somebody really popular,
mm-hmm.
right, and personable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, we'll leave it out there. So, aside from Liberace, who was the only classical performing musician ever to substitute for Johnny Carson as guest host on The Tonight Show?
Not Maury
Amsterdam. Is this person still alive today?
No.
Okay.
Maury Amsterdam's not in.
Cello?
No.
Yeah, no. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hey, Thomas.
The board game Mahjong wouldn't be.
It wouldn't be.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's a board game, but it's not.
It is. Mahjong is a board game.
Well, I know it's played with tiles on a table, but you don't need a board.
Oh, I thought they had boards for them, too.
They might. Anyway, it's not
it. I don't think so.
Yeah. No? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
When my aunt played it, she didn't have any.
Oh, okay, all right.
Just threw them on the table. It was like dominoes.
Exactly.
All right.
And on the song, did you get Wilbur and his brother?
We did not. Wilbur and his brother, when they said that man could fly. Oh, that's exactly. The last one. Very nice.
I've been working my head trying to find that.
Well, you did it. Thank you. That was two. I only counted them as one. Yeah.
Now, I have some guesses on the poetry, but I really don't know. Sour Grapes, is that Sandberg?
It is not.
And Seven Seas, is that Walcott?
It is not.
Okay. Best Actor, is Sidney Poitier still going?
Yes, he is. That is correct. Yes. Well done, Thomas.
And what about supporting actress? Is Celeste Holm still around?
No, Celeste Holm has passed a couple years ago. She was the correct answer when I asked this question 5 years ago.
Right.
Since then, she has died.
And I'm sorry to hear that.
Yes.
Joel Grey?
No, did not win.
I got a bill. I'm good.
Joel Grey did win.
He did win.
He did win?
Yeah, for
Oh, well, but he's but that would have been
That would have been 69 or 70.
69 or 70, right. So we're looking for someone earlier than that.
All right.
Okay. Sorry, you're right.
Okay. Thanks, Thomas.
Thank you.
All right.
Wouldn't be Dustin Hoffman for Midnight Cowboy, would it?
No. That would be before. That would be Best Actor, right?
I thought he won Supporting Actor for that John Voight.
For Midnight Cowboy?
No, he's nominated for Best Actor, I think.
Oh, he was, okay.
I think.
He didn't win for that.
He didn't win until
Kramer versus Kramer, which
right,
is 79.
Right.
Best Supporting Actor.
I'll give you a hint. The Best Supporting Actor is the same person it was 5 years ago. That's the one that has not changed. I don't know if that's a
hint. How about George Chakaris in West Side Story?
Yes, that's exactly
so
right.
So does that mean Rita Moreno is the other one?
No.
Okay.
So we're looking for actress and director.
Supporting actress.
Supporting actress.
Supporting actress and director.
I've seen George Chakaris on the Turner Classic. He looks basically the same. I don't understand it.
God,
he's 81 years old.
Yeah.
He still looks like he looked in West Side Story.
Yeah. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Roger in San Francisco.
Hi, Roger.
Jewish writers. Noam Chomsky.
Yes.
Oh, that's
good. Good job.
Thank you.
Good job.
And they all left. You mentioned them all, but there's one you didn't mention, Me Wanting You.
Well, Dana mentioned that, and I'll give you credit, but I won't give. I didn't know that you wanted me, so it didn't. We're working out here.
Right.
Thank you.
Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Thank you. We have something very quick, Pauline.
Okay. I've got like a three-part one, but it's short. Eurovision, so the winner was just announced lately. So the country with the highest number of wins, the country with the longest history in the contest without a win, and the only person to have won more than once as a performer.
Ooh, Eurovision, the song contest.
Oh.
I know the one that won. That was
I just heard a bit about this on
Someone has won Eurovision twice?
Yes.
How many years?
An individual person?
An individual person.
How many years has it been going on?
60-ish.
60 years?
Oh.
Is the person who's won famous?
No. Mm-hmm. In fact, interestingly, there are some famous people who came out of it, but I don't think this person is particularly famous.
The guy with the bearded drag queen from last year.
2 years ago.
Is it a show?
Worst.
Do you all watch? Do you
Conchita
all watch
worst,
it?
No, I just mine it for trivia questions. Conchita Wurst. Yeah.
Conchita Wurst.
So the question is, which country?
So which country has the most number of wins? In other words, has won the most time? Which country has gone the longest in history in the contest without a win? And who is the only person to have won more than once
without
as a performer?
Without a win.
How many wins does this country have?
Croatia.
The one who had the most?
Yeah. Is it like
No, it has
10?
To be the longest time without it.
Less than 10, but
oh, yeah,
it's
right.
got to be a
but
country that's been
five.
Around for
yeah, no,
I hear Croatia does no. well.
So does this include every country in Europe?
Yes, and it's actually even included a country not in Europe.
The Philippines?
No.
And they love their singing. Okay. Think about that. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello? You on? No?
Hello.
Next call.
Hello.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Linda Nel Cerrito.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. On the cigarette slogans.
Yes.
Just what the doctor ordered. Was that Camel's?
It was not.
Okay. All right, well, I have a quick question. Forbes is always interesting with its list of billionaires and so forth. and it's broken down by state. And I want you, there are six states that have no billionaires. Huh. So I want you to tell me what those six states are.
Oh, well, we've only got like 6 minutes left here.
That's
It might be a little too much for the
Is Alaska one?
Alaska is one, yes.
Okay, six states that have no billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaii.
No, I would think Hawaii.
No, Hawaii has.
All right.
all right, well, let's take a guess and then you fill
Montana.
In the blanks.
Okay.
Montana?
No.
I know, got a lot of billionaires.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, sure.
Property there. Billionaires.
How about Kansas?
No.
I'm going
that's
south.
That's one of the Koch people.
Oh, that's right.
I'm going South Dakota. Or either Dakota.
No. Either Dakota. I'll give you that. North Dakota.
All right.
How about Kentucky?
No.
So we have two.
No, I think we've all guessed now. Now you better fill in the blanks.
Okay. Alabama, Delaware, New Mexico, and Vermont.
Delaware?
Yeah.
Delaware's
DuPont?
Okay.
Nice.
Let the me DuPont. Give you a really quick follow-up. There's one family that has represents the richest person in three different states.
Wow.
What family is that?
The Walton.
Must be Walton. Walton.
That's the Walton. Yeah. They moved him around a bit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So that's it then.
Nice living
the wealth.
Okay, bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, is that me?
It is you.
Okay. The tower is Yeats's poetry.
It is, Yeats. Very good. Excellent.
And then Let's Candyland is one of the board games I have nothing else.
Candyland.
Candyland did
that's
not
good.
Make the cut, I'm shocked to say.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a great too. Guess. Yeah.
Okay, have a good night.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ruth in San Francisco.
Hi, Ruth.
Hi. I'm wondering if sour grapes could be Dorothy Parker.
It is not. And
great
I,
guess.
It's a perfectly logical guess, mm-hmm. But it's not.
Okay. And among board games, is Sorry anywhere on there?
It is not in the top five, but okay. It's in the top 20.
And the Johnny Carson show, what about Beverly Sills?
Oh. That is correct.
Oh,
well
course.
Done.
Of yes. course, oh. yes. I kind of remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do, too.
Yep. Yeah. Bubbles, wasn't
ooh,
that
right?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Good job.
I was thinking
thanks.
Instrument.
Really nice, bye. Personable kind person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she
and
great.
Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi, it's Peter in San Francisco.
Hi, Peter.
When I was in high school in the 60s, we were very fortunate to have a lecture in the auditorium by Isaac Bashevis Singer. Is he one of the authors?
He is not.
No.
No.
All right, that's me. Thank
well,
you.
Thank you. And one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hi. I have one for the most quoted Jewish writers.
Yes.
Okay, I have two, actually. I have Anne Frank and Primo Levi.
I like both those guesses.
Yeah,
they're very
great,
good.
Great guesses.
Extremely good guesses. But no, neither one.
All right. And then for the game,
yeah.
I have backgammon.
It's not backgammon. Oh, that's a tremendous
that's a
guess on the opposite side of checkers, but not
yeah.
it.
All right. That's all I got.
Excellent guesses.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay, let's clear
right.
up here.
Is the Jewish writer Harold Bloom?
It is not.
Okay.
Harold Bloom is on the, like,
yeah.
in the top 20.
All right, so the earliest Best Supporting Actress winner who's still alive is the lovely and talented Eva Marie Saint at 91.
Of course. Okay.
And the best director used to be Mike Nichols for The Graduate in 67, but he died, and now the holder of that in distinction is William Friedkin, who won for French Connection in 71.
No, it used to be Robert Wise before Mike Nichols.
Okay.
All
before
right.
Mike Nichols, but
yeah,
but
right.
Mike Nichols
okay, right.
was 5 years ago.
Yeah, right.
That's
okay.
I think I've only got one. So the Eurovision, the most wins with 7 is Ireland. The country with the longest history in the contest without a win is Portugal. And the person who won twice is Johnny Logan, who won in 1980 and 1987.
I don't know his work.
I don't know his work, but you know what?
Did you hear that song? Johnny Logan.
No, but he also won as a songwriter.
Huh.
Oh. Johnny's a female?
More than one, so yeah. no, right. He also won as a songwriter,
all
so
right.
it's interesting.
All right, our cigarette slogans. Blow some my way is Chesterfield's. Oh. For digestion's sake, smoke Camels. And just what the doctor ordered, L&M. The fifth best-selling board game, Trivial Pursuit.
Oh, okay. Let's see. The most quoted Jewish authors in the last 30 years, the only one nobody got, Jacques Derrida.
Oh.
Jacques Derrida, philosopher. What do Kirk Douglas, Spencer Tracy, Michael Caine and Boris Karloff. What role do they have in common? Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Oh.
So.
Couldn't give us Frederick March?
No.
Poetry collections.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Sour grapes,
William Carlos Williams. The Seven Seas, Kipling. A Green Bough, Faulkner. If we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Thanks for listening to Minds Over Matter. Our panel tonight, from the San Francisco Chronicle, Joshua Cosman, teacher Pauline Teichman, from Diablo Valley College, Lori Fisher. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to David LaTulipe and Steve Wilcott. Have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Take care. Bye-bye.
You get, if it ain't gross, it's net. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't sis, you can't miss. It's got to be your brother. Can't you see it's got to be one way or the other? If it ain't full, it's blank.
KALW is a media sponsor for the Jewish Community Center of San Francisco, presenting its 2016 Arts and Ideas season with another revealing program on sex. Film curator Peter L. Stein examines the taboos and stereotypes surrounding Jewish sexuality on screen in a fun movie clip-filled talk. Tuesday, May 31st at 7 p.m. Information at jccsf.org/sex. This is KLW San Francisco. Revolutions per minute is next. It's 8 o'clock.